Blog Talk Radio.
Promise is the truth.
Morning. Welcome to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. And this is Stacey Lunsford. And today is Relationship Thursdays. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today, our topic is about relationships. Eloquently speaking, when it comes to relationships, what's your brand? In the Word of God, several relationships are mentioned, and we have learned from those relationships. Each of those relationships, the people that we have read about, the people that we have learned about, like Naomi, Ruth, Moses, Joshua, David, Jonathan, Samuel, Saul, Peter, Paul, Matthew, Mark, John, Luke, Hannah. Hannah, I love Hannah's story about relationships because there's so much to learn. And Hannah's story, she was so provoked and harassed, and she did not take matters into her own hands. She totally relied on and depended on God, and she went to God in prayer, and God answered her. And we are going to learn from Hannah's story on this journey about relationships. So as I continue to just throw out a couple of names from characters in the Bible, we have learned from relationships with Elkanah, Eli, Hophni, Phinehas, Aaron, Miriam. And we all know how Miriam got jealous of her relationship with her brother Moses. Now, why did Miriam get jealous about Moses? Didn't she operate in the prophetic anointing and the prophetic gift was upon her life? What was it about Moses that caused her to get so jealous? Well, we're going to find out how jealous can tear down a relationship and can even cause sick. God struck Miriam with leprosy. And dig this, it wasn't until after Moses prayed for Miriam, who rose up against him. Did you hear what I said? Moses prayed for his sister after she rose up against him and asked God to have mercy. And God did extend mercy, but she had to go outside of the camp while she still had leprosy. We're talking about relationships today. We're going to learn about the relationship with Goliath and the Philistines, David, Haman, Mordecai, Esther, Cain, and so many more. And the one thing that I want to highlight is that they all had a brand. And my question today is, what is your brand in relationships? When people enter into a relationship with you, are the highlights of your strengths and your weaknesses, because your strengths and your weaknesses become a part of your brand. Are you known for being a faithful and loyal person, or are you known for being an unfaithful and a disloyal person? When it comes to your brand, what are you known for in building relationships? Take a moment to reflect on your positive characteristics and your negative characteristics and ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to eliminate the negatives that are not needed and how to turn those negatives that are usable into positives. If you're listening to this radio broadcast and you have a question or you would like to join in the conversation, please press #1 and I will be more than happy to speak to you. When it comes to relationships, we have to be willing to do our part. And the purpose of this series is to help you to see that whether you are aware of it or not, you have a brand. And your brand is that quality, it's that characteristic that makes you stand out from the crowd. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made, and we all have unique gifts, skills, and talents. We are representing God in our relationships. So let's make God proud and let's seek to please God as we continue on this journey about relationships. So now that we talked about brand and I gave you some food for thought, if you have any areas that you desire prayer, please inbox me on Facebook. And you can reach me at Eloquently Speaking Radio Network on Facebook. So when it comes to building harmonious relationships, what do you do? How do you respond when you are mistreated? Is your goal still to build harmonious relationships, or do you get angry and just let the relationship go in the direction that it's going to go? Or do you desire to work on the relationship, to build the relationship, and to discuss the strengths and weaknesses of the relationship? Listen, relationships take work. And a lot of times when we mention relationships right away, people think about a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband and a wife. But I don't want to just limit it to that area, because we have relationships with many people. We have relationships with our siblings, our family members, our mothers, our fathers, our grandmothers, our grandfathers, our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, our wives, our daughters, our sons, our friends, our teachers, our the doctors, the patients at the hospital, our coworkers. So there are many, many relationships. And how you handle your relationships is very important. And how you establish boundaries, because without healthy boundaries, people will do what they want to do with you in your relationship with you. And I want you to learn how to establish healthy boundaries so that people will know what they can and what they cannot do. So one of the questions that I'm going to present is, what, eloquently speaking, what is important to you in building healthy relationships? Build is to construct something, typically large, something very large. But you can build something that's very small. Now, this is real important. You can have a relationship and you can start out very small. And I'm talking about small, like the seat is very, very small. But if you, let's use the analogy of that mustard seed for a relationship that's going to start out small. You see, that relationship, when it's as small as a mustard seed, it's in its infantile stage. And it can grow to be whatever you desire it to be if you take the care to nurture, to water, and to pull out the weeds. So when it comes to a mustard seed, that mustard seed is so small, but as it grows, flourishing tree, and the leaves are just, the mustard leaves are just, it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful tree, one of the most beautiful trees that I like. But it's so full, and a relationship that's built on trust, a relationship that has been assembled and put together with much care, can grow and blossom and become like a flourishing mustard tree. So I'm going to go back to my question. Eloquently speaking, what is important to you in building healthy relationships? Is honesty important to you? What about integrity, morals, and ethics? Are you honest with the person that you are in a relationship with? And is the person that you are in a relationship with honest with you? In the beginning of the relationship, how did you establish your relationship? How did you build your relationship? Build is to assemble, to put something together and make something beautiful. And in the context of my theme today, my objective is to strategically build harmonious relationships that will glorify God. Godly relationships that will shape you, godly relationships that will make you, godly relationships that will form you into what God will have you to be and not what people will have you to be. I'm talking about building from a biblical perspective. Relations is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected. So how are you connected to the person that you are in a relationship with? And I hope some of these questions are really like touching home, because a lot of times people say that they're in a relationship, but how committed are you in the relationship? How loyal, how faithful? Are you giving constantly, giving, 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 giving? Are you receiving, 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 receiving? In a healthy relationship, there should be a mutual give and take. Reciprocity means I'm going to give back to you, maybe not what you gave to me, but I'm going to give you back something. I'm going to show appreciation to you, and I'm going to let you know that I value my relationship with you. I value my friendship with you. You see, if you are in a healthy relationship, you should be friends with that person, whether it's your husband or your wife, or if it's your mother or your father or your brother or your sister. Relations is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected. So how are you connected in your relationship? And how are you disconnected in your relationship? How do you affect your relationship? Are you happy in your relationship, or are you dissatisfied in your relationship? Are you getting what you want out of your relationship? Are you settling for less in your relationship? Are you in a codependent relationship? And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but a codependent relationship is a relationship when the person that you are in a relationship with have so many issues, so many problems, and they may have some addictions. They may have some besetting sins. They may have some areas where their life is just turned upside down, and you are constantly, constantly coming to their rescue. No matter what is going on in their life, your life is perfectly fine. As soon as you get the phone call from them, as soon as they come knocking on your door, as soon as you get the text message from them, your spirit gets all uneasy and you feel like, oh my gosh, here we go again. But you stop everything that you were doing to accommodate that person. And the rest of your day is totally disorganized. You no longer stay focused on the things that you needed to do because everything is about this person that you now feel a need to save and to rescue. And while you're saving that person and while you're rescuing that person, all of the things that you needed to do is falling apart. We're talking about relationships, building relationships. And tonight I'm going to be talking about tearing down the house that lies built. And I'm going to be exposing some of the lies that we believe in relationships that tears our house down. So being in a codependent relationship is a relationship that will tear your house down. It will tear down your confidence. It will tear down your self-esteem. It will make you question who you are. And oftentimes, when you are in a codependent relationship with someone, they display negative behavior. They also display narcissistic behavior. And the moment that you stand up for yourself, the moment that you become an advocate for yourself and you tell them no, then narcissistic behavior will come out of hiding. And you will see just how inconsiderate, nasty, and mean that person can be. And they will say things that will hurt your feelings. They will blackmail you. They will make you feel guilty. They will make you feel like everything is your fault because they love to manipulate, they love to intimidate, and they love to play mind games. So if you are listening, this is Eloquently Speaking, and this is Relationship Thursday. And I pray that something being said is causing the light bulb to come on for you, because our goal is to see you happy. Our goal is to see you come out of negative relationships that are tearing down your house. And our goal is to help you build healthy relationships that will help you to build your house. You see, if you are in agreement with the person that you are in a relationship with, the word of God tells us, hallelujah, in Amos, the third chapter in the third verse, can two walk together except they agree? Going back to my question, eloquently speaking, what is important to you in building a healthy relationship? Well, let's continue to talk. Godly relationships are very important. Is God in your relationship? Do you both love, honor, and respect God? And do you both love, honor, and respect each other? Have you ever really taken the time to sit down and talk to the person or people that you are in a relationship with to establish the kind of relationship that you are going to have? And it's real important that you take the time to answer that question, because a lot of times we enter into a relationship and in our minds we establish how we want the relationship to be. And think this, the person that you're talking to, they are not a mind reader. And they may not be in agreement with what you want in the relationship. They may not be able to give you what you want. If you don't take the time to sit down and say, this is the kind of relationship I want to have with you. This is what I'm bringing to the table. This is what I have to offer you. Now, can you handle this? Can you deal with what I'm bringing to the table? And if you can't, be honest and let me know. And then it's up to that person to say to you, well, this is what I'm bringing to the table, and this is what I have to offer you. And then together you can discuss the things that you like and the things that you don't like. And then the question is, do you value the relationship enough where you can overlook those negatives? And what I mean by that is, if you agree to be in a relationship with someone that loves to go to the football game and you don't like football, but you agree to be their friend and you agree to be in a relationship with them, that means if they buy some football tickets for you to accompany them to the game, are you willing to sacrifice and be with your friend and go to the football game, even though it's something that you don't like to do? See, because all relationships, there's a certain level. I'm not going to say certain level, but there's a certain sacrifice that needs to be made, especially in a husband and a wife relationship. Because sometimes you may not want to do what your husband want to do, and sometimes your wife may not want to do what you want to do, but you sacrifice. And a lot of times mothers will sacrifice for their children. Fathers will sacrifice for their children. And sometimes we do have some children that will sacrifice for their parents. Even boyfriends will sacrifice for their girlfriends, and some girlfriends will sacrifice for their boyfriends. And I've been on some jobs where my supervisors and my managers sacrifice for myself and my coworkers. But I also have many times where I sacrifice for my coworkers and for my supervisors and my managers. And you know what? The bigger to do what it was going to take to make sure that the workflow continued and that any breaches in the workflow, that they were properly addressed so that we could work as a team and get the work done. Which brings me to teamwork and relationships, partnership and relationships. This is Stacey Lunsford, and you're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and this is Relationship Thursday, and we are talking about relationships. So what kind of relationship are you in? What kind of relationship do you have with God? And what kind of relationship do you have with yourself? And all of these questions are important because how you feel about yourself and how you treat yourself is going to determine how you interact and treat other people in relationships. Relations is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected. It's a thing that affects one or has relevance to another. It's how we are connected. It's how and what kind of relationship or association we have. It's how we are really linked to one another. And how well we have bonded together in Christian love, and how we truly edify and care for one another, and how we help to bear one another's burdens. During this series, I will be sharing topics pertaining to establishing good relationships and good relations in relationships. And that's something that's often overlooked. I'm going to be talking about different types of relationships. And I will be dedicating a great portion of this series to men, women, boys, and girls that are in or abusive relationships. We have healthy relationships and we have unhealthy relationships. And there are a lot of people that are in abusive relationships that are looking for help. So when we get to the abusive relationships, I will be bringing in different guest speakers and a couple of people in the mental health field that will be able to discuss with us and to share very good information and warning signs for depression in relationships. Because a lot of times when a person is in an abusive relationship, they enter into depression. They feel discouraged. They're filled with despair. A lot of times they operate out of a spirit of fear. They internalize. They go inward. And the ever abuse that they received, it steals their voice. And the fear prevents them from speaking up. So much is connected to it, and it's time for us to really recognize the warning signs. And when we see that people in trouble, we need to care. We are our brothers and our sisters' keepers. And as believers, we should care about one another. So we will be discussing various relationships, and we will be focusing on the family. And I'm thanking God for my series on eloquently speaking about restoring the family. And God is doing awesome work. He is healing broken relationships and returning the hearts of the fathers to the children. And God is returning the hearts of the children to the fathers. And that's a campaign that I started way back in 2012, eloquently speaking about restoring the family. We have witnessed so many families being restored, so many fathers and sons' relationships being restored, mothers and daughters, And I really thank God for what he is doing. And I thank God for all of you that have been supporting the families through prayer. There's so many contact people for their families that I've been in contact with, and I thank you so much. So if you are listening and you would like to present a question or you would like to join the discussion today, please press #1. So in relationships, many times people will say that they are okay when they are not okay. Have you ever done that? Because people say that they are okay because they don't want to hurt. They don't want to hurt the other person's feelings. And this is so unhealthy. We should learn, not we should, we, it's a process, because if you've been in, if you've been displaying unhealthy relationship most of your life, it's very hard to stop doing that. It's very hard to stop saying everything is okay when it's not okay, because you're afraid to say, hey, stop what you're doing. That's not okay. That's hurting me. I don't like what you did. So in unhealthy relationships, when we don't speak up, we give that person power and authority to continue to hurt us. And I want to go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, for a moment, because the word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but," and then it goes into talking about the powers and the principalities and the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places. So, and I'm stopping there to say, person is displaying negative behavior towards you. We must also look and discern the spirit that is in operation. And we don't want to rebuke the person, but we want to rebuke that spirit. And a lot of times we get mad at the person. You see, when we're dealing with unhealthy relationships and we're dealing with abusive relationships, a lot of times we will get mad at the person instead of getting mad at the spirit in operation. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes to rob, to steal, and to destroy, to kill. And if you are in a relationship that has purpose and you are trying to build your relationship on a strong foundation, a biblical foundation, let me tell you something. The enemy is going to come up against you. The Bible also tells us in Romans 16 to mark those that cause division. Are you a healthy or an unhealthy relationship today? Eloquently speaking, what is important to you in building a healthy relationship? I'm going to continue to present that question throughout this broadcast today. This is a broad question that deals with all types of relationships, parental relationships, marriage, friendship, work, church, children, etc. What is the one key ingredient needed to establish and maintain a healthy relationship? And once you answer that question, then the next question to ask yourself is, why is that important to you? And all of these questions will help you to become a better you, but it will also empower you to see your strengths and your weaknesses. And my goal is for you to see the mistakes that you have been making. My goal is for you to see, my goal is for you to see those areas where you have lowered your standards for somebody else, and to see yourself through God's eyes and not through the eyes of people that are not in agreement with who God said you are. You see, you have to believe that you are who God said you are. And I don't want to give you my word, so if you have your word, go with me to Psalms 139. Let's take a look at that scripture and see what God says about us. And by the way, when God made everything and God saw everything that he saw, God said that it was good. So that means that you are good. That means that you are a good thing. That means that I am good. I am a good thing. And you know what? I love me.
and I'm going to take good care of me. And I believe with all of my heart that ever since I started taking care of me, that I became a better me. Self-care, self-love is something that we all need to work on. If you don't love yourself, if you don't take care of yourself, how do you expect other people to love you and take care of you? Most people don't know how to love and take care of themselves, so how will they know how to love and take care of you? Some people are in relationships and they are waiting for that man to love them. They're waiting for that woman to love them. And they're going to be waiting for a long time because they don't know what love is. They don't love themselves. They hate themselves. They judge themselves based on what happened to them in the past. They judge themselves based on what was done to them, what was said to them. And they operate in the spirit of guilt. And they sleep with condemnation. So they condemn themselves all of the time. And then they speak negative about themselves. And that is speaking self-imposed curses. And when you have the self-imposed curses, then you have the self-sabotage. Then they begin to sabotage opportunities where they can have beautiful, positive relationships. But they mess it up by the negative things that they say. And you mix this with a little bit of fear, now they're afraid to really be who they want to be because they really don't want to stay in this place that they're in. I hope this is making sense to somebody. We're talking about relationships. So in Psalms 139, and we're going to start at verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So King David is saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And each and every one of us, God fearfully and wonderfully made us. We are his workmanship. God loves each and every one of us. And we need to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What is the one ingredient needed to establish and maintain a healthy relationship? And why is that important to you? And if you notice, all of the questions, I've been repeating them two times so that it can sink in. And so some of the characters that I mentioned in the beginning of this broadcast, as I go through this series, I'm going to be sharing the different relationships and the different lessons that we learn with the different characters in the Bible. And I'm going to be highlighting a lot about King David and King Saul. And we're going to talk about David before he became king, David after he became king. And we're going to talk about Saul before he was king, and then we're going to talk about King Saul after he became king. And we're also going to talk about King Saul once he lost the kingdom. And he lost the kingdom because he did not value his relationship with God. He did not appreciate his relationship with God, and King Saul began to dishonor and disrespect God. We cannot dishonor God. If we love God, we will keep his commandments, and we will do what he tells us to do. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect because we all fall short of the glory of God. But King Saul, he was the king. He received instructions. And the prophet Samuel told him what God wanted him to do, and he blatantly disobeyed God. He also got jealous at David, who he once had a great relationship with. He honored David. He was so grateful for the skills and the gifts
that David brought to his army because they won so many battles. People started praising David. King Saul got jealous of his relationship with David. And that opened the door to the spirit of assassination and false accusations, where King Saul really was trying to make everybody believe that King David, David wasn't king at the time. I mean, he was king, but he wasn't appointed to be king. You see, he was anointed to be king when he was a young shepherd boy tending to the sheep. Somebody got to hear me. We talking about relationships. And this is so important because David had an awesome relationship with God when he was just a little shepherd boy. And I say just a little shepherd boy because people looked down on him. They did not acknowledge who he was. All they saw was he was a shepherd boy. And because they overlooked, because they misunderstood, because they misinterpreted, they failed to see that David was a great warrior. My Shanda Rabashidi Kanda. David was a warrior. David was an intercessor. David was a fighter. He was a defender. He defended the sheep. He trained the sheep. He took care of the sheep. When the lion and the bear came, he killed them. We're talking about relationships. So if David wasn't in the right relationship with, what would he have been able to do what he did in defending the sheep? Pause and think about that. When we are in a right relationship with God, we are empowered to do great things. Understanding your role and your relationship with God. What is your relationship with God? What are your relations with God? How do you relate to God? How do you relate to God when things are going right? How do you relate to God when things are not going well? How do you relate to God when you're happy? Are you happy to speak to God? Do you find yourself in relationship with God more than you do when you're unhappy? What do you do when things are falling apart all around you? Do you ignore God or do you cast your cares upon God? Do you draw closer to God? Pause and think about that. We're talking about things, key things that are important, key ingredients that are needed to establish and maintain a healthy relationship. So in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter in the 10th verse, I'm going to give you a moment to get there. We have a very important scripture about having a relationship with God. And in verse 10, God clearly explains to us the conditions of having a relationship with him. And so I'm not going to give you my words. I'm going to share the word of God with you. And I pray that something being said today is challenge you to grow in the areas of relationships. Are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. So God says we are his witnesses. God says you are my servant. God says I have chosen you. So we did not choose God. God chose us. God chose to be in a relationship with us. And that's real important, because if you can see how important you are to God and how important your relationship to God is, you're going to start valuing yourself, you're going to start taking care of yourself, and you're going to start loving yourself, and you're going to start loving God more, and you're going to take better care of your relationship with God. So God is first, you are second. You take care of God, you love on God, you honor and you respect God, you take the time to do what God just said in Isaiah 43 and verse 10. He said, I have chosen you. I want you to know me. I want you to believe me. I want you to understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God form, neither will there be after me. You see, I don't care how many false idols you turn to. I don't care how many people you run to. Nobody can love you like God can love you. Nobody can be your friend like God can be your friend. We sing the song, I am a friend of God. Well, are you really a friend of God? Do you know God? Are you his witness? Are you spending time with God? Do you know God? Do you believe God? Do you understand God? Are you in agreement with God's word? Because God said in Amos 3:3, and I'm going to continuously go back to that verse, because can two walk together except they agree? Now, going back to tearing down the house that Lot built, the moment we come out of agreement with the word of God, we come in agreement with the lies of the enemy. The lies of the enemy leads to the road of self-destruction. How is the infrastructure of your relationships today? Are your relationships heading down the road of destruction? Or are your relationships the road of construction? Or is your relationship being constructed on the biblical foundations of God's word? How are you building your relationship? Is your relationship built on lies, or is your relationship built on trust? Are you building your relationship on sand that will sink and cause your house to collapse? Or are you building your relationship on a rock that will cause the foundation to be firm? On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. What kind of relationship do you have with God today? Isaiah, the 43rd chapter in the 10th verse, says again, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. It's real important that we take the time to understand that scripture, because in that text, God is clearly saying, I want a relationship with you. I am concerned about you getting to know me. See, because God knows you and God knows me. God knows everything about us. God knows our going out. God knows our coming in. God knows the number of hairs that's on our head. God knows when we're happy. God knows when we're sad. God knows when we're mad. He knows when we're angry. There is nothing hidden from God. God knows everything. But Isaiah, the 43rd chapter in the 10th verse, I can't say it enough. And I pray that God will release spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of how important you are to him and how important the relationship is with him. Now, God is concerned about your relationships with people. God is concerned about your healthy relationships, and God is also concerned about the unhealthy relationships. Now, we've covered a wide range of relationships and different topics and different directions that we're going to go in with this series. And I'm going to highlight the Israelites a lot while I'm doing this series. And this is Eloquently Speaking, Stacy Lunsford. You're listening to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic, and this is Relationship Thursday. So every Thursday, I will be teaching on relationships. And I will also be highlighting the relationship that Israelites had with God. When they were in Egypt, they did their work, and they did their work with a spirit of excellence. Even though they was being mistreated, even though they were beat, even though the struggle was great, they still believed in God. They cried out to God, and guess what? God heard them, God answered them, and God rose Moses up for such a time as this. And we all know the story, how God told Moses to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, Pharaoh did not want to let God's people go. And I want to ask a question. Eloquently speaking, why didn't Pharaoh want to let people, God's people, go? Pause and think about that. If you had all of these slaves building all of these cities and things for you, why would you want to let them go? You're going to lose all of your workers. And then the Egyptians, the bougie Egyptians that, you know, was too good to work, and they looked down on the Israelites and said, we going to have them do this work for us. So who is your modern day Pharaoh today? Because guess what? There's a Pharaoh in your relationship, and I pray that God will reveal it to you. I pray that as we continue to open up the word of God, that the word will begin to show you who the Pharaoh is in your life and who Pharaoh is in your relationship. You see, Pharaoh wants to keep you in bondage. The spirit of Pharaoh is working closely with the spirit of Saul. And these two spirits have infiltrated the body of Christ, and you mix in the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Ahab, my, we have total division in the body of Christ. We have people getting hurt, people getting prostituted, people not knowing or learning the word of God because the word of God is not being taught. So this is one of the main reasons that I'm doing this teach on relationships, because it all goes back to God. God is our source. It's in him that we live. It's in him that we move. It's in him that we have our being. And guess what? If we moving in our own strength and we making decisions in our own strength, and we not seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, guess what? You doing what you want to do. And you letting God know, God, you know, I love you, but I got this right now. And if you do it enough, guess what? He's not going to say, no, don't do that. I want you to do this over here. But sometimes he will warn you. And sometimes and when I say warn you, don't get scared. Because a lot of people are afraid of God because you don't know him. And that's why I shared Isaiah 43 and verse 10. And I'm going to read it again. Ye witnesses, saith the Lord, in my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. So when you don't go to God and you turn to other people, you are making that person your false God. And you're telling God, God, I love you, but I don't trust you enough to come to you with my concerns, with my cares, with my hurt, with my pain. So now, I want you to go with me to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, for a moment. Because in our relationship, sometimes we put our trust in man. And when I say man, and when the word is saying man, it's speaking of male and female. Sometimes we trust people. And in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, in the 5th verse, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. But listen what it says in verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope, H-O-P-E, hope is on the horizon today. I'm going to read that again. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 17, verse 8, it says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So we're talking about relationships, eloquently speaking about relationships. What is your relationship with God? I know I talk about relationships with your boss. I don't like to say boss, with your supervisor or your manager, your coworkers, and we talked about parental relationships and relationships with husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends. And you know what? All of that is good. But what is the condition of your relationship with God? What is your trust factor? How well do you trust God? Do you trust God with all of your heart? Because that's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to do. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. My. There's so many benefits of trusting God and taking God at his word. Are you in agreement with what God said to you about you? Are you trusting God, or are you trusting man? Because we just read in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Pause and think about that. What is your role in building a healthy relationship with God today? After hearing Isaiah, the 43rd chapter in the 10th verse, where God is saying, I want to know you. I want to be in a relationship with you. I want you to know me. I want you to understand me. I want you to know that I have the best for you. I want the best for you. The opening song that we listened to, it was, I know my plans for you. And God does know his plans for you. You don't know your plans for you. And the problem is sometimes our plans are not lined up with God's plans because our will is not lined up with God's will. And the truth is we're out of relationship with God. We know God. We love God. We accepted Christ as our Savior, but the relationship didn't grow. It didn't go nowhere. It was just, I'm saved. I'm a child of the King, but I don't know God. I don't know God's word. I don't know how to trust God. I don't know how to rely on God. I don't know how to depend on God. Truth is, Stacy, I've been trusting myself for so long, and I've been hurt so much, and I've been taken advantage of so much, so I just do me. I don't ask nobody for nothing. I don't tell anybody anything. I don't rely on anybody, but sometimes I do. I really feel like I just can't handle it any longer, and then I trust the wrong person, and then they go and they talk about me, and then all of my business get out there, so then I just shut down and I be quiet because I'm wounded. Well, I totally understand. If that's you, I totally understand. And guess what? God understands too. But God is such a loving, kind, and compassionate Father. He never tells our business. He never talks about us. He will never condemn us to hell. He will never tell us that we are not forgiven because he has forgiven us. So Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and 11th verse, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." And that's thoughts of peace and not of evil. And it's to give you an expected end. So I want to read that again without putting the emphasis in there. And this is Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and 11th verse. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Verse 12 says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And verse 14 of Jeremiah 29, "And I will be found of you, the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place which I caused you to be carried away captive." So God knows his plans for you. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So as I come to the close of today's message, this is Eloquently Speaking, Stacey Lunsford, and you're listening to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. And today is Relationship Thursdays, and we're learning about relationships. And God wants us to know that he loves us so much and that he wants to be in relationship with us. There are two things that are standing out to me right now that the Holy Spirit would like for me to share with you. I love the Word of God, and I pray that this is being a blessing to you. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." So thoughts of peace. When it comes to relationships, are you in a peaceful relationship with God? Pause and think about that. Because some people love God, some people are in a relationship with God, but they don't have peace with God, because they don't believe that God has forgiven them for their sins, and they walk in condemnation. So two, second question, are you at peace with yourself? How do you feel about you? Are you at peace with you? Are you at peace with those that you are in a relationship with? Because if God's thoughts for you are peaceful thoughts and not evil, guess what? If you are not in a peaceful relationship and evil and wickedness and negativity is all around you, guess what? That relationship may not be of God. And I say maybe because I don't know your circumstances or your situations, because some healthy, positive relationships will have a little bit of negativity. But, oh my God, I'm talking about your relationship. If it is constantly negative, if it is evil all through it, from the beginning to the end to the middle, or maybe it started out good, but somewhere that person changed on you and there is nothing good, and it is tearing down your house. It is tearing down your confidence. It is tearing down your self-esteem, and it is affecting your ability to go to God and take the time to get to know him. Based on his word in Isaiah 43 and verse 10. What is your relationship with God today, because God's thoughts of you is peace. So if you've been afraid to talk to God, afraid to get to know God, afraid to be in a relationship with God, God says he has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And perfect love casts out all fear. So if you're afraid to come to God because you don't feel peace in your relationship with God, I want to pray for you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus, or are you out of Christ Jesus? Are you walking in the flesh, or are you walking in the spirit? Are you hanging out in the soulless realm? Do you know what the soulless realm is? Do you make decisions based on your emotions and your feelings, or do you make your decisions based on the word of God? Matthew 6:3, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. All of these things being added unto you, God's plans for you is perfect. God knows everything that he has ordained for you. God knows everything that he wants to give to you. God knows everything that he wants to share with you. God wants you to enter into a right relationship with him. So I talked about all of the relationships and different relationships in the beginning, and I'm here where I'm at right now because in order for us to have a healthy relationship with other people, in order for us to have a healthy relationship with ourselves, we must learn how to be in a healthy relationship with God. So what does a healthy relationship mean, Stacy? Well, I'm going to tell you. But first, I want to ask you a question. Are you in a healthy relationship, or are you in an unhealthy relationship? And how healthy or unhealthy is your relationship with God? Now, I want you to be honest and take the time to answer all of these questions. So if you're going to be joining me on Thursdays, Relationship Thursdays, I want you to get a special journal that's going to be just for relationships for this broadcast on Thursdays. Eloquently Speaking, Open Mic, Relationship Thursdays. Take the time and write down these questions. Next Thursday, when I come back, I will do a recap and I will ask some of these questions, and even if you want to dial in and share some of your answers, that's great. If you want to contact me privately, because many of you do, and that's perfectly fine. But how healthy or unhealthy is your relationship with God, and how healthy or unhealthy is your relationship with you? And how you answer these questions is going to determine how your relationship is with others. And sometimes we camouflage how we feel, and we can have an unhealthy relationship with God. We can have an unhealthy relationship with ourselves. But when we put that mask on and we begin to camouflage who we really are, we have these fantastic relationships with people. But when the people not around and you behind closed doors by yourself, guess what? That mask come off, that camouflage come off, and what do we have? Brokenness, woundedness, lies, confrontation. And then how well do you handle what you see? Because you perpetrate in the fraud. You're not really who you say you are in God's presence, and you're not really who you say you are in the presence of those that you are in a relationship with. And you're not even being honest with yourself. I would love for you to come out of agreement with the lies that you've been telling yourself and the lies that you've been believing. Come out of agreement with the lies of the enemy so that you can start building yourself up, so that you can reach out to God and you can humble yourself and repent and tell God all of the things that you was doing wrong because your thinking was wrong, because you thought God was going to beat you. You thought God wasn't going to receive you because you didn't really believe that God would forgive you for whatever it is that you did. And excuse me, and the truth of the matter is God forgave you for what you did. God wants you to just say, hey, God, this is what I did, and I'm sorry. I repent. I'm truly sorry. I'm going to turn away from it. And I have some struggles in that area. It's hard turning away from it, but I'm letting you know, God, I'm really sorry. And I'm asking you to help me overcome this. Send the Holy Spirit to help me, to counsel me, to comfort me, to teach me, to correct me in love. Things that I share with you, talk to God about it. Say, God, Stacy is always talking about love covers a multitude of sins. And she always say that love is the antidote. And she always talking about more love, 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 love in 2018. What's love got to do with it, God? Help me to understand, because I don't feel love. I don't feel your love sometimes. And I do feel your love sometimes, but because I got some issues, I don't always receive your love because, oops, am I going to go there? Yes, I am. God, I don't always receive your love because I don't trust you. Yeah, that's some truth right there. That's a moment of truth. Eloquently speaking, that is a moment of truth. And if you are listening to this broadcast today and you don't trust God, guess what? It's good. You're good. You're exactly where you need to be. Now God can step in and minister to you. Do you think you're the only one that has not trusted God? Many people have doubted, have operated in unbelief. It's part of the process of being processed. But let me tell you something. Once you learn how to trust God and take God at his word, once you learn what Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? You will no longer walk with the enemy. You will no longer believe the lies of the enemy. God's word says that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And the truth is that God loves us with an unconditional love. And no matter what we do, no matter what we say, God forgives us, and we must be quick to repent on a daily basis. But once we go to God and we ask him to forgive us, God forgives us, and he casts it away. He doesn't remember it. He will never bring it up to you again. So if you find yourself constantly rehearsing and reliving all of the mistakes that you ever made in your life, all of the things that ever hurt you, things that you did, things that happened to you, if you constantly rehearsing those things over and over and over, and you digging up that cat that died, listen, that's you doing that. That's the enemy doing that. It is not God doing that, because Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So are you in a healthy or unhealthy relationship with God today? Are you in a healthy or unhealthy relationship with yourself today? When it comes to the various relationships in your life, do you understand your role in these various relationships? And I'm asking this question because it can be a bit overwhelming, because at different times, we all wear different hats and have different roles that we carry out in our relationships. And right there, I just want to highlight, we have God the Father, God the Son, and then we have the Holy Ghost. They all are in relationship with each other, and they all have a specific role they function in. Now, I am a daughter. I am a sister. I am a mother. And I have different relationships with my family members. I have a different relationship with God. I have a different relationship with Jesus. I have a different relationship with the Holy Ghost. Now, out of the three of them, I am working very hard with developing my relationship with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So are you in your relationship with God? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus? Where are you in your relationship with the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is our counselor. He is our teacher. He will lead and guide us into God's path of righteousness. in your relationships, what kind of hats are you wearing? So as a daughter of the Most High, I pray a lot for his people. So I often operate as an intercessor. That's one hat. I'm also a teacher. That's another hat. I'm also a preacher. That's another hat. I'm also nurturer. I am an administrator. And I could go on and on and on, but I wear these different hats. So different people I come in contact with, I have to know which role, which hat I need to put on. And it's the same way in your relationships. If you are married and your husband is the head of the household and you're submitting to his leadership, there are different roles that you play in his life. You are his helpmate. You are his wife. You are his best friend, or you should be his best friend. You should be his lover. You're the mother of his children. You are mother. You are a homemaker, or you may be working. You may be a professional wife, mother. You maintain a home. You establish a healthy home. At times you are a nurse. At times you are a counselor. At times you are a historian. Do you see the different hats and the different roles? So just go back to the question I asked. Are you in a healthy or unhealthy relationship? Because based on the infrastructure of the foundation of your relationships, is it built on a lie or is it built on the truth? Going back to an earlier question, is your foundation built on the sand or is it built on the rock? Your foundation, how you perceive things, how you filter things, how you respond to things, how you interact with God and invite God into every area of your life is going to determine how you interact with other people in relationships, and it's going to affect the different roles that you play in the relationship. And through this series, my goal is to allow the power and the spiritual illumination of God's word to highlight those areas where you are in roles that you should not be in, which means you are in the wrong lane. So we're going to be making some U-turns. We're going to be making some adjustments. Some of us are going to come off the highway. We just want to take that exit wherever you at because you don't even belong on that highway right now. That means you're out of position. You're not in position. You're not in the right relationship because you're in the wrong relationship. And God wants to make this U-turn. He wants you to make this exit so that you can get in the right lane. We're talking about Relationship Thursday with Stacey Speaking. You are listening to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. Those that you are in a relationship with, what their needs are, and then ask them, are their needs being met? And then take the time and you ask the question, answer the question, are your needs being met by them? Based on their response to your question, together, you both can discuss ways that you can make positive changes in your relationships that will meet each other's needs. So I want to go back to Isaiah 43 and verse 10 again, because God clearly states that he wants to be in a relationship with us, that he wants us to know him. He wants us to understand him. So now that you understand God's requirements based on his word in Isaiah 43 and verse 10, you can go to God and let him know what you learned today and how you want to get to know him and understand him, and let him know where you are and let him know those things that's been preventing you from getting to know him, getting to be in the right relationship with him, and then let God minister to you. Let him give you comfort with his word, and God may speak a word to you. But start with God first. Then start with yourself, and then you can start with those that you are in a relationship with. And after they answer your question, now they can present the same question to you. And based on your response together, you both can discuss ways that you can make positive changes in your relationship that will meet each other's needs. So remember earlier I mentioned reciprocity. Reciprocity is very important. If you are in a if you're in a relationship and it's a one-way street, meaning it's all about that person is taken from you, and they're not giving anything back, that's an unhealthy relationship, and that person is not for you. That person is using you. So we need to stop, drop, and pray. And then after you pray, you need to get up and you need to make some changes. This is a season that God is cutting off everything that serves no purpose and everything that has no value in our lives. So having said that, what happens when needs can't be met in a relationship? That's a very good question. And right here, each person has to be honest with themselves, honest with God, and must provide an honest answer to the following questions. Can I handle this person's behavior, attitude, and or how they can meet my needs in this area? Can this person handle my attitude, my behavior, and or how can I meet their need in this area? So my last question is, this is the most awesome part of this whole message. We-ism. We must get rid of me-ism. It is not about me. It is not about me, myself, and I. If you are in a relationship with God, you must allow God to be a part of the relationship. Which brings me back to Isaiah 43 and verse 10. God says we are his witnesses and his servants. God said he wants us to know him, to understand him, and we do that by being in a relationship with him. Can we look past each other's inability to meet each other's needs in that one area and still maintain healthy relationships with this person? Now, and I know I'm mentioning the different categories because we're talking about people and relationships with people, but we're also talking about our relationship with God. And your relationship with God is crucial because your foundation with God will help lay the foundation for you and your relationship with yourself. And then you can focus on your relationship with other people. I strongly feel that these are excellent questions for all kinds of relationships because 9 times out of 10 stand-ins lead to major breakdowns in communication and cause unnecessary divisions and separations. And a lot of times we don't know why things go wrong. We don't know why people shut down and they don't talk to us. We know that something is wrong and people misunderstand us. People shut down. People don't say anything. They internalize or either they externalize and they operate out of anger and hurt. So it's many contributing factors. So as I come to the close, Father, thank you for teaching us more about establishing and maintaining healthy relationships today. Help us to grow in our relationships with you. Help us to grow in our relationship with ourselves. Help us to grow in relationships with other people in our lives. To be better children to you, better sons, better daughters. Help us to be better mothers, better fathers, better friends, better associates, better parents, better coworkers, better husbands, better wives. Father, teach us how to be better brothers, better sisters, better teachers, better preachers. Teach us how to improve our relationship with you and teach us how to improve our relationship with ourselves. Teach us how to promote self-care and to learn how to love ourselves. Teach us how to love you and to receive your love and to receive your forgiveness. Father, anything that has been hindering us from establishing healthy relationships or anything that has been keeping us in unhealthy relationships, we thank you today, and we want to give everything to you. And so we cast our cares upon you. And we thank you, Father. We need your help. And we thank you for leading and guiding us in this process of building healthy relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you. This is the end of the Eloquently Speaking Open Mic Radio broadcast. This is Stacey Lunsford. Thank you so much for joining me today. I look forward to speaking with you next Thursday, same time, 11 a.m. I will see you on the message boards. God bless you and have a wonderful day.